thank you everyone for coming. And I will start by a slight change in title because I, as someone else this morning mentioned, they were eternally optimistic and thinking that data were going to tell them something or their experiment was going to do more than they thought. And so that ended up being my problem as well. So instead of just enlisting the weathermen in deciding enhanced efficiency fertilizers, we are talking about more data problems in the land of meta-analysis as well. So I will start with that. So when we're looking at the enhanced efficiency fertilizers, in particular dealing with nitrogen, on farm they're talking about improving nitrogen retention and reducing losses. As a society, we want to then focus on the loss part of it and talk about reducing environmental damage. And two of the main focus areas currently are nitrous oxide and nitrate. So the nitrous oxide being a significant greenhouse gas and nitrate in the water. So policy-wise and programmatically, we are talking about incentives and how do people actually make decisions to change and improve nitrogen management. And there are a number of things in the works through the supply chain with the Sustainability Consortium and other groups dealing with improving the sustainability of supply chains. That is especially in the case of carbon markets, where we have as an example for an environmental market, and then also in some cases, some government incentives or other environmental markets, even in the area of water quality trading. The carbon markets being big picture globally, since that's how nitrous oxide acts, and the water quality markets being more on a watershed scale or smaller regional areas because the costs of nitrate pollution really differ a lot depending on where you are. So we're looking at trying to minimize losses and maximize yield, and when we started looking at the enhanced efficiency fertilizers, there was a discussion about whether we actually wanted to look at data to do with losses or data to do with yield, and I was wanting to look more at the data that that actually measured nitrous oxide emissions and nitrate losses, but was quickly convinced that those data were insufficient to be able to do any large analysis and look at any big picture, because we have very little information right now in the literature about these enhanced efficiency products and their impact on losses. So the yield data are much more available, and also the farmers are going to make a decision. Lacking other incentives, farmers are going to make decisions about enhanced efficiency fertilizers as it relates to the yield impact. And for policy purposes, for designing programs, trying to decide if we want to have incentives for enhanced efficiency fertilizers, trying to decide if we can assume a relationship that as we have better yield, better nitrogen use efficiency, if that's what these products do, can we also assume that we have reduced yield? And we'll get back to that a little bit later in one of the last slides that I have. So we ended up pulling together a database of from within the peer-reviewed literature, focusing on North America, on field trials that tested enhanced efficiency fertilizers, and focused on corn and wheat being the most significant field crops in our area. So looking at our different products, this is an example. This is the best one of which we have the most data. And this is nitropyrin, and which is NSERV as well. For those of you who are familiar with the product, that's one of them. And so we have data looking at data ranging with the years from about field sites from about 1971 all the way through 2013 in this data set. And you can see there is a significant amount of work that was done in the earlier time frame from 1976 through the early 1990s. And then we have a little bit of work in between, and it starts to pick up again as we in our near term right now. So all of these I have, these central points are the mean response of the change in yield with nitropyrin. So this is the percent change in yield with nitroglycerin, and this is including corn and wheat because there's no difference. We can put them all in the same model together because we're looking at the percent change in yield with this product. And if we look at the size of the circles, the smallest circles have less than 10 comparisons in the study. The medium-sized circles are 10 to 20 comparisons, and those larger ones have more than 20 comparisons in that study. And the 95% confidence intervals around the mean are these lines here, and you can see the cases where the 95% confidence intervals cross zero, so it's not significantly different from zero. And those cases, here's one example where it is a significantly increased yield benefit from nitroglycerin. So overall, when we take this all and do a standard meta-analysis on the effect size, we end up with this overall effect size of just over 3%, and the 95% confidence interval of that mean does not cross zero, so we have a statistically significant positive yield impact of nitroglycerin. So doing this also with the other products that we were looking at, we looked at nitroglycerin, and you can see I have here the number of studies and the number of comparisons, actual side-by-side comparisons in the field, and the dates as to when those studies were actually conducted. And we can see the impact of nitroglycerin, which is the one I just showed you with the 3.6% increase on average, DCD not being statistically significantly different from zero, the MBPT, which is the Agritain Super U, most of them with DCD being the Agritain Plus or the Super U, and then ESN here and Nutrisphere, having only two studies actually in the peer-reviewed literature with 30 comparisons. And it's not crossing zero, but it's awfully close. So it's not easy to tell with these two studies if that's actually going to have a huge impact. But you can see that on average, all of these do tend towards the positive end of having positive impact on yield. So, but we can look at this positive impact on yield and say, well, sure, we could encourage these, but there's a lot of variability, as you saw in the previous slide, and a lot of the studies have no impact or a negative impact, and so we're trying to figure out what is explaining the variability in these data. Is it weather? Is it other management practices? Is it the soil characteristics or other things that are explaining this variability? Because if we're going to suggest that we use these products, a farmer wants to know what will work in their situation, and a policy decision maker or a program designer wants to know what regions they should be recommending this for, or where they should be avoiding recommendations, where it's actually going to be of value to spend our money to put an incentive in place. So how do we then target our programs and policy or make on-farm decisions? And we need to know when and where the product is the most effective. So starting with nitroglycerin, we pulled together, we have data on management and soil and things like that, but we thought we would look at the weather for the time frame of when the fertilizer was applied and look at anywhere between 15 days to 30 days, both before and after, and try to get an idea as to whether the precipitation and temperature were having an impact on the response of yield to the product. So these were the factors that theoretically we would think have an impact, and we focused especially on the temperature and precipitation, thinking this is where we're going to get a significant explanation of our variability, and came up with some, and using the factors that were described by Nicolas Tremblay and some of their work, both temperature but precipitation and the distribution and amount of the precipitation and how that has an impact on losses and crop production. So we're using a multi-level hierarchical model and multiple variables in order to be able to correct for soil carbon and fertilizer rate and available and nitrogen and things like that, so that we can then see if everything is held constant, how does the impact of this product have an effect. So this is what we thought we were going to do, and we start dealing with missing data. So for my nitropyran, I have 441 observations. When we start looking at soil available nitrogen, only two actually talked about preplant, only actually reported preplant nitrate. And so we looked at marginal yield response to nitrogen by site year when we had that data available, and we had 195 observations, soil carbon. Not everybody reported that. Soil texture, not everybody reported that. The temperature and precipitation, we only had 200 and some observations that actually reported seeding and fertilizer dates. And with all of the above, we only have 95 observations left. So this really reduces the availability of information. And this is the weather information, the weather data, and the yield response with the different variables, that the different factors that we comprised from the weather data, and that showed absolutely nothing, not just in these plots, but also in the multi-level model. So the response to nitrogen fertilizer did show that it was positively related to the marginal effect of adding more nitrogen in that site year, and so that we could see that when we had a 10 kilogram of grain per kilogram, for each additional 10 kilograms of grain per kilogram of nitrogen, we have 4% more yield when we use nitropyran. So if we need fertilizer nitrogen to improve yield, we add nitropyran, that improves yield too. So you could use nitropyran instead of more fertilizer nitrogen. And tile drain systems had a more positive response to nitropyran. Lower soil organic matter had a more positive response to nitropyran, and more time between fertilizer application and seeding, which makes sense, which is why they apply nitropyran in the fall. So I said I was going to talk about losses, and nitropyran may reduce yield scale losses, but we have very few observations, and so these cross zero, the 95% confidence intervals. And so without more data, we really won't know what our expected average response is, or what really, more important, the variation by region, year, or other management, and then also whether we can use the weather to decide. Thanks.
Okay, any question? One question? Yes.
I noticed on your graph with SDI that there seems to be an increase in variability as you go for higher SDI, which would be logical since this shows the
So as we increase the SDI, we have more dispersed rainfall, but more variability, and it doesn't trend either direction. So, yeah. Thanks.
Thanks.